Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and today we're going to be talking about a new subject, remitting sins. That is a very powerful revelation that a friend shared with me. And I have with me today on the show my friend Nicole, which y'all know. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And also my friend Kelly Ward from Oklahoma City, who's going to be starting us out in the show and telling us about this revelation. Welcome to the show, Kelly. Please introduce, please introduce yourself to the listeners because they've not heard you before.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you for having me on. I really do appreciate it. And this is a huge honor for me. I've not done anything quite like this before. And so I'm just very, very blessed to be able to do this with you. So I'll just give just a brief introduction of myself. In my previous walk with the Lord, I was basically a Christian in name only, and I basically just turned my back on God altogether. I think it was around 2009, 2010. I was just aggravated with some things in life and some of the choices that I had made, and so I just gave up on God altogether. And the interesting thing about that is the devil will let you do that, and he will let you feel a sense of freedom, which I did feel. But that obviously appeals to the flesh. And so I turned my back on God and I'd gotten remarried and I just lived life however I wanted to, said whatever I wanted to, did what I wanted to, watched what I wanted to, drank what I wanted to. And, the Bible says that sin is fun for a season.
Yeah.
But when I look back now, I see over the course of time how God was trying to get my attention, trying to wake me up.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, God had placed people in my life. So I had moved to Alabama in 2010. And when I was there, God had put some very special people in my life that had really sown some seeds in my life. And they started to germinate. In 2014, as a result of all of those things, I had this real aha moment. And some of the things that they had shared with me, it really resonated with me, and I just kept thinking about it, and I would go research it and look these things up, and I won't go into all that, but the point is it really just opened my eyes to understand some of the things that are going on in the world. And I had this light bulb moment where I realized, okay, there's all this evil going on in the world, and if that's true, then there must be the devil and he must be real. So if that's true, then there must be good, and where there's good, there must be God.
Amen.
And you have to understand, I was an atheist at that point. I mean, and yeah. So, yeah. And I remember you talking about that on the show. And I think, you know, probably a lot of us have been there at some point in our past. Only this time though, when I gave my life to the Lord, when I rededicated myself, it was a for real conversion. It was genuine. My life changed almost overnight. And it was so quick that my wife, who I was married to at the time, whom I've divorced from now, she told me, she said, "I don't even know you anymore."
Wow.
And I look back at that and of course now I think, well, man, that's a good thing.
Because you were a new creation.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I decided to stop drinking, stop watching the stuff I was watching, saying the things. I mean, it's almost like it was almost overnight, and started going to church, and I was just on fire for God. And I started serving the Lord, started getting active in ministry at the church that I was going to at the time. I joined the media ministry there, which I really loved doing that kind of stuff. I also started serving at a ministry that they had. It was called the Manna House, and they were serving, you know, food to poor people. And it was, I guess, like the local food bank had donated some food there, and so they would distribute food. And that was an opportunity for me to serve others and to really learn to start praying for others. And for a quote-unquote new Christian, you know, that can be a little bit I don't know, not unnerving, but it can be a little bit difficult because you don't always know what you're doing. And that really opened the door for me to start praying and interceding for people. And I look back at that time, and that was such a very, very special time in my life. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately, and how, looking back and how the Lord was really chasing me. So not only was I going to church and for real reading the Bible and praying and learning about God and, you know, trying to understand Him a little bit better, I also started following some online ministries, and there was one in particular that I was following. I started following in 2014, and he had, he would read some of your prophecies on a show. And through that show, I started following Wings of Prophecy. I think it was in 2015, and I would read the words there. And sometime in 2015, Glenda, I started emailing you. And so we became friends that way. And I do very much appreciate you putting up with me and all the questions and all the emails, because I don't know how you do it. I know that takes a lot of time, and I know you've got a lot of listeners. So I really do appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome. But when you love the people that you teach, it's easy.
Yes, and it helps too that you don't work a full-time job either. And I'm not trying to.
This is my full-time job. The ministry is my full-time job, so.
Right, and I hope one day to be there, because, you know, working a full-time job like I do and doing what God has called me to, I'm looking at this and I'm like, you know, there's just not enough of me to go around. But
I hear you. I was there, yeah, when I used to do that extreme commute, and then I was still trying to do the website and everything on the side. That was rough. There wasn't anything left of me at the end of the day, I can tell you that.
Yeah, no social life. And, for me, I don't even really have a social life even now.
I haven't had a social life in decades. I don't even miss that anymore. But just being able to, you know, have enough energy to complete a thought at the end of the day is a real good thing in my life. So,
I do want to put in a shameless plug for your book, The Wilderness Companion, because that book has been probably, well, outside of the Bible, I would say The Wilderness Companion has probably been the most influential books that I've ever read, and the most practical.
Wow. Thank you.
Because you don't hear this subject taught in a lot of churches. I remember the late Pastor David Wilkerson talking about it, but it wasn't really a whole sermon. But this book really helped me to understand where I was and where I was going and kind of what to expect. And I'm so grateful for it. And I'll just give you just a real quick testimony of how it helped me. So when God called me to move back here to Oklahoma from Alabama in 2016, it's funny how God has a way of putting you in a position, no matter where you are, no matter how much you think you have. He always has a way of putting you in a position where He can get you to listen and get you to see what's going on.
Oh yeah.
And I'm not trying to brag, but I have a very, very good job, but the house that I sold there, I lost a little bit of money, but not a whole lot, but I was able to sell it for the full list price, but I was out just a little bit. But I came here with just what little I had in my account at the time. And my brother, you know, he drove the truck back. And so I had no choice but to move in with mom and dad. I didn't have enough money to put down on a new house or to even get an apartment. So thankfully, mom.
I remember when that was going on. I remember you emailing me about that.
Yeah. And that was, and you know, and I was so glad to come back here because God brought me my old job back, which I'm in now. And I was so happy to get out of the job that I was in there. And I remember you talking about how when God moves you, He takes the anointing off of where you're at and He moves it ahead of you to where you're going. And that did happen.
Yep.
I wanted to get out of that place so bad, and I was just so looking forward to it. And I'm so glad that God did that and just took that desire away from me, because I did not want to stay there.
He takes that anointing off to the point that you almost want to run ahead of Him just to get away from the place, because there's no anointing on it anymore.
Right, exactly. And so I moved in with my mom and dad, and I was there for probably about 3 or 4 months or so. And it's interesting when you do that. And I know that you've been there too, because I remember you talking about you living with your dad.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it at the time when I moved in, but I still had some unforgiveness towards my dad for some things that happened when I was growing up. And they weren't really terrible things, but it was enough that I had unforgiveness in my heart still. Mm-hmm. I thought I had forgiven him, but sometimes working through that, you know, forgiveness is one thing, but working through the process of healing those emotional wounds is another thing. Sure. And that's something that I've learned administering deliverance to others too. So I was there and I remember seeing, and I know my dad doesn't listen to this show, so I think I can probably say this, but I remember seeing my dad get angry over something. And it took me back to that time when I was a child, feeling that fear of him getting angry over, you know, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And it took me back to that time. And I wanted to run, Glenda. You know, I was trying to save up money to put down for a down payment on a home. I wanted to run so bad. And so what I did, I just drove out to the local lake here, and they have a little campground area. And I poured my heart out to God. I told God exactly what I thought. Wow. I mean, I gave it to him. And I had to do that two or three times, it seemed, maybe four times. But it made it a lot easier, because then I was able to really genuinely forgive my dad. And that, Glenda, that opened the door for my dad not to reconcile. And I remember sitting in the kitchen and we were talking, and Dad's a real private person. He's not open about his emotions like I am. That's something I've had to learn myself to not be open about.
My dad was like that too. He was real private.
Yeah. And but we had that moment, and it wasn't too long after that. I mean, it was almost instant. That really helped open the door for us to have a relationship. And it was a relationship that we never had before in my entire life up until that point. And now.
That's all God. That's all God right there.
Oh, absolutely. And so now we have dinner. Usually we go have dinner on Friday evenings after work, and we have a really good time. And even Dad had commented before that it's like we're making up for lost time here. And so I'm glad God did that. And it was painful at the time, but if you just work with God and let him guide you through the wilderness season that you're in, you can get through it a lot quicker if you know what to look for. And so that book, so again, a shameless plug for the Wilderness Companion, that was very, very helpful to me.
I'm so glad.
So along the way, though, I had some things. After I'd given my life back to the Lord in 2014, I was on fire for God. I was serving him. And God had given me a very short window of grace in my life where I could really pursue him, really read the word, really dig in, serve him, and serve others and learn to pray. But then there came a point where I guess the training wheels kind of fell off. And then I really began to realize the spiritual battle that I was in. And I think a lot of people probably go through that. And most churches, I don't think, really prepare you for that. Because the battle that we're in is very real. I mean, when you get in, you know, you're all the things that you had gone through in your past now can become something that the enemy can use against you. And if you don't know how to go fight that, if you don't know how to get those things under the blood, then those open doors are still there. And a lot of people are left wondering why these things are happening in their lives. And I'm no different.
I don't think most of the churches have the knowledge to teach on that. And you can't take people where you've never been. And you won't find, I don't think, a lot of pastors who have the inclination or the desire to walk that path so that they can lead other people up it. It's a lot. As you've seen yourself, it's a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
The devil does not take that lying down. Not one step of it. He is going to fight you with everything he's got.
You're absolutely right about that.
We went through, just so y'all know, we went through, what was it, y'all, 30 minutes? 30 minutes of fight just trying to start this show recording. 30 minutes.
Okay, yes. Okay, I think I know what I was going to say. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Give me just a moment.
Okay.
Okay. So you're right about that, Glenda. It's my belief from what I've seen and what I've learned that a lot of Christian schools that prepare a lot of pastors for ministry probably don't have in their curriculum anything to do with spiritual warfare and deliverance. Mm-hmm. And in the curriculum that I'm writing now to help deliverance in my church, because my pastor had given me an open door to do that, and that's, I believe that's the primary call that God has on my life to get that started. I really had to stop and think about why we don't have that, and if you don't learn about it in your formal education, then you just go on not really thinking about it, probably not really knowing it, or you have a way of explaining it away. And therefore, a lot of people, they just don't get healed or set free. And I find that really very sad. And the devil is really good about that. He's really good about hiding himself. He's really good about hiding the facts and twisting things. And, you know, if he can make himself hidden, then that just gives him more power. And I know that there's a lot of plants that are in some of these schools, people that are in high positions, that some of them are plants that are being used by the enemy. And I'm not trying to shame them, and I'm not naming names or anything, but that's just how the devil operates. And so as a result of all that, and my experiences with the things that were going on with the horrible demonic dreams and getting attacked at night, trying to really figure out what it was, that set me on a journey to really try to learn and understand, okay, what's going on here? And I remember listening to that podcast that I was listening to in my early walk. And I remember he was saying, you know, if you have some demonic influence going on in your life, you know, his suggestion was find a charismatic type church, like an Assemblies of God church or a Pentecostal type church, where they may still do some of this stuff, and go to them and tell them that you need deliverance. And so that's what I did. The church I was going to, I contacted them and got an appointment, and it helped for probably, I don't know, a week or two, maybe 2.5 weeks. You know, I've experienced freedom, but then it came back. Mm-hmm. And so then I realized, okay, there's something going on here. I'm really curious about it. I don't know what it is. So I said it was a journey of going to the various websites, learning about it, reading books, mm-hmm. learning from people like you, Glenda, and others who have podcasts. And I learned in the process things about breaking curses, binding up demons, getting rid of demons out of my life. And gradually over a period of time, that really helped kind of peel back the layers of the onion in my spiritual life to a point where now I don't have lustful thoughts anymore. I don't deal with any of that, thankfully. And I can tell you now, I am 41, so I'm a little bit older, but I'm still a man. Men have to deal with a lot of things, especially in a society today. And I can tell you, mm-hmm. having lived a life full of lust almost all my life, probably starting about the age of 9, I can tell you it is very, very possible to live free of that demonic influence. You know, God never called us to manage demons. No. He called us to overcome.
Amen.
And if we have the spiritual tools to do that, we can get rid of those demonic influences in our lives, and we can go higher in him. And God loves us too much to leave us right where we are.
Yeah, he does.
And so as a result of all this, learning about deliverance and spiritual warfare, God has a call on my life to start a deliverance ministry. That's my lane. And I do believe, it is my opinion, that in the times ahead, that I think we all probably have our place in God's kingdom and how he wants to use us. And this is my lane. And I know that Nicole, too, also has an anointing for spiritual warfare and deliverance. And I've emailed her probably a gazillion times and talked to her many times about some stuff that's going on. And so, Nicole, thank you both for all the help that you've given me over the years.
You're very welcome for anything I was able to help with.
Well, both of y'all have been very helpful. So as a result of all of this, when I joined High Place Warriors in 2019 to pray and intercede for President Trump, I found this really interesting. Part of the training curriculum that you put together, Glenda, was a lot of it were some podcasts that you had done years ago. And one of them was a podcast that you did in 2012 to try to get us prepared before we actually started doing some of the real battle. Mm-hmm. And what was interesting is, of course, at that time in 2012, I was living like how I wanted to. I just did what I wanted to, and I didn't pay God any mind. But in that show, Glenda, and maybe this was a word for several people, but I definitely know it was for me. And it's interesting. I remember exactly where I was going. I was I was hungry that evening, and I was on my way to Taco Bueno, which I know probably isn't the most healthy thing to eat, but I was on my way there. And you had given that word about God wants you to start a deliverance ministry. You know, that's him talking to you. And I'm driving in my vehicle. I'm like, dude, no way. Really? I mean, it's so vivid. I mean, I could remember it so very clearly. Well, so that was in January of 2019, or maybe February of 2019. And since then, it has been a fight. I mean, this has been about a year and a half fight now. And I remember talking to my pastor in February, March of 2019, after I knew this, trying to figure out, okay, do I have an open door here? Because I didn't know exactly how God wanted to do it. And so as a result of all that, my primary goal is to get a deliverance ministry started here locally through my church. But also, too, with some recent inspiration from you, Glenda, I just recently started a website and a blog for spiritual warfare and deliverance basics for new believers.
Oh, yeah. Give the URL for that so people can go look at it. That's a beautiful site, by the way.
Yes, it's libertyfromcaptivity.com.
Libertyfromcaptivity.com. Okay.
Yeah, and it's literally brand new. The site is still under construction, but you can at least go to the site. I got it hosted. And so what I want to do there is to put some blog posts on there and maybe do some podcasts if I have time to do it. I'm hoping that I do. You know, like I say, I work a full-time job and trying to get this deliverance ministry going through the church and trying to do all this at the same time. There's just, I really need like two of me to do it.
I can relate.
So, but that's where I want to go because, you know, as you had alluded to, a lot of people that don't know how to get set free. And if you can just have just the basics, you know, there's a lot of things that are specific to people's lives. But if you have just the basics, I think you can take that and customize it to the things going on in your life. And that can open the door for people to do some searching and have God help them to get set free. And I think you can experience a pretty decent level of freedom with that.
I agree with you completely. You know, the whole reason I began teaching spiritual warfare and deliverance was because I was also struggling in so many areas myself back in 2009. And you, there's nobody's doing it in the churches. I couldn't find any churches that were doing it. And in Princeton. And I thought, well, you know, if I can figure this out, if I can learn it, maybe I can teach it to other people because there must be other people out there like me that need help. Boy, was there ever. The next thing I knew, you know, the Lord was telling me to put these videos out on YouTube. I started doing that. He started me on YouTube and then later on Blog Talk. And I was getting email after email after email from people that were saying, God woke me up at 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. and he sent me straight to your channel. I'm like, okay. I had never experienced anything like that before. And I mean, I was just getting boxes of emails inboxed to me, asking questions and commenting on the videos and things like that. And that's how this whole thing started. And it is a fight. The devil fought me every step of the way too. And deliverance is very labor intensive. And the people do need good training in order to do it. You need a team of 4 to 6 people to do it at a church, really. Because I have seen demons cast out where people had to hold down the person that they were being cast out of. And so it takes more than one person if you get into something like that. And if you've ever gone to see Bob Larson, then you've seen things like that. I went to a Bob Larson seminar when I was in Texas. He was at a church half a block from my house. I just walked up there and watched him. And it was, I didn't have any idea I was called to any kind of deliverance or anything at that point. So it was pretty interesting. But it takes a lot of training and you're constantly learning in deliverance, because you'll never know all the demons that are out there, and you'll never
That's
know
right.
all the situations that you will encounter with them. And I'm sure Nicole can agree with that, with the things that she's encountered. Every situation is different. Every situation is different.
Definitely. But I don't know about Kelly, but in my experience, if you're dealing with that kind of activity and it's not coming out real easy, then there's a bunch of legal rights, because when the legal rights are taken care of, it's very easy. So unless you're trying to do deliverance on someone who's not ready for it, or, you know, then you're going to have a fight.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, one of the things that I learned, I spent about a year serving in deliverance ministries in Oklahoma City, where it was basically real hands-on training. And one of the things that I learned to help keep down those demonic manifestations while you're ministering is they go through what they call a door closing prayer at the very beginning. So while the deliverance ministers are praying and they're worshiping, maybe we went through a lesson or a teaching or whatever, one of the other folks that's there is leading everybody. They're all in kind of like a small room, and they're leading them through a door closing prayer, just basically going through you're forgiving others, you're forgiving yourself, and you're basically getting that closed to where whenever we actually sit down and do actual deliverance, for the most part, most of the time, it's actually very quiet. Now, you will have some people that will manifest. There will be demons that manifest through people. And thankfully, I haven't had to deal with that experience of having to, you know, somebody just goes into a rage and you have to hold them down. Most of the time, it's one-on-one, usually man with a man or a woman with a woman, and you're in kind of your own individual area. And so that has been very, very helpful. So that's one of the things I wanted to do as part of this teaching is that's like one of the first things you've got to do. Because if you have unforgiveness, for example, in your life, if you have unforgiveness towards somebody else or yourself, when you sit down and work with that person, we have kind of a checklist, and it's not an end-all be-all checklist. It's just a guide. But one of the things that we ask is, you know, did you have any trouble forgiving yourself or forgiving somebody else? And if the answer is yes, we stop immediately. We don't go any further because we know that deliverance just isn't going to happen. You might be able to cast them out, but they will come right back. And so we end it and we tell them, hey, you need to work through this. You need to forgive. And when you're ready to do that, come back.
That's all that we have for this episode. So I want to thank Kelly and Nicole for being on this show, and join us for the next episode. We're going to be talking about some really interesting things for two or three shows straight here. And we want to get to the remitting sins. I think y'all are going to really, really enjoy that. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.
Are there areas of sin in your life you just can't seem to overcome, no matter how hard you try? Many people live their whole lives under curses, without understanding they can be free. Learn what the scriptures say about curses and why they are still relevant today. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Learn how to defeat every curse through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. If you have the knowledge, you can break curses off your life and start experiencing breakthroughs like never before. In the book Loosed from Chains of Darkness, you will learn the basics of four different types of curses. Loosed from Chains of Darkness is the most comprehensive curse-breaking book on the market today. Get your copy of Loosed from Chains of Darkness by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print, Kindle, and audiobook versions.
If you ask anyone you know what the most difficult experience of their life has been, many will answer about a time of betrayal. All those called to walk the narrow path will at some point encounter Judas. How will you respond? Do you know how to recognize Judas when he shows up in your life? Can you keep Judas from bringing destruction to your life and ministry? How can you minimize what Judas cost you? Can you pass the test of absolute betrayal? Get your copy of The Judas Test, available in print and new audiobook, The Judas Test by Glenda Lomax, available now on Amazon.com.
Sold out for 30 pieces of silver? In Exodus 21:32, it is the price of a dead slave. In Leviticus 27:2-7, it is the price of a live one. Jesus was sold for the price of a bondservant. Precious Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, why did Judas sell his friend out so cheap?